You know, the past few weeks we've been going through the book of Acts. Well, we're going to change things up. And for the next several weeks, we're going to go to the Old Testament. You know, we don't spend a lot of time in the Old Testament, but for the next few weeks, we're gonna dust up some of the stories that that are out there. Troy has a really fun challenge next week and what he gets to preach about, so haha. But this week, we're going to talk about Jonah. Why? Because Jonah's one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. So we're going to talk today about Jonah. Now, if you don't know much about Jonah, Jonah was a prophet. His job was to go and to deliver the messages that God had given to him. So he would go into a town and he would basically say, hey, this is what God has told me to tell you guys. So Jonah's doing that. He's doing his job. And one day, God comes to him and says, Jonah, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh. And Jonah says, no, I don't think so. And Jonah ends up running away. Jonah runs from God. You see, Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh because Nineveh is the capital city of a country called Assyria. Now, the Assyrians were a very cruel and oppressive people. The land that they lived in was constantly being invaded. They had to deal with floods and famine and pestilence and just all the nasty, like, Old Testament stuff they had to deal with all the time. And so they were just really not nice people. And so Jonah, we don't know why yet, we find out, but he just was like, no, I'm not going to go to Nineveh and preach to these people. So he runs. He goes and he gets into a boat and he's going to sail as far away as he can. Now, if you know anything about God, you really can't run from God. So he gets into a boat and he does what, you know, most people do in the in the Bible. They get into a boat, they take a nap. So he goes down and he takes a nap, and God sends this massive storm. And the storm is so bad that it scares the crew. They think they're going to die. And the captain comes down and he shakes Jonah and he says in chapter 1, verse 6, get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention and spare our lives. You see, this captain has got it under control. He knows, hey, you need to get up and pray. You're taking a nap. We're about to die. Get up and pray. So Jonah gets up and goes on deck, and the crew is like, we got to figure out whose fault this is. So they cast lots. They basically throw some dice to see who's at fault. And of course, Jonah wins because Jonah is running from God, and he'd already told them that he was running from his God. And the crew is like really scared now. And they say, okay, who are you? Where do you live? And what God do you serve? And this is what Jonah says in verse 9. I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. When they hear that he's a Hebrew and he follows God, they're terrified now. Because now they know they're in a storm, and this guy is running away from the Hebrew God that they have heard stories about, that they know the things that happened during the Exodus. They are terrified. And they say, what can we do? And Jonah says, the only thing you can do is throw me overboard. That's it. And they debate, and then they finally agree, and they pray to God. God, please don't kill us for killing him. And they toss Jonah overboard. Now, I don't know how quickly after Jonah goes off the boat, the storm ends. I imagine God's the kind of guy that as soon as Jonah gets tossed overboard, like as soon as he hits the water, the storm just kind of like, phew. And it's like blue skies and everything. And there's Jonah just kind of bobbing on the waves. And the guys are just kind of sitting there going, what do we do now? Do we save him or leave him? And as they're trying to figure this out, you know, when I would tell stories to the kids all the time, to my kids, we would be telling a story and we would just making things up as we go. And it always come to a point where I'd say, and then a big fish jumped up and ate him. Well, guess what? At this point, a big fish jumps up and eats Jonah. Now, Jonah spends the next 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale. A fish, whale, we don't know. It's probably a whale. But can you imagine that you've been running from God, you get woken up to a massive storm, and then you have to get thrown overboard, and then you spend 3 days in the dark, in the wet, in the, I'm sure it didn't smell very good inside that fish. That you spend 3 days in there. At some point, Jonah prays to God. And you want to take a moment and read chapter 2. But Jonah just goes on this prayer to God, and he says, God, I'm crying out to you in my distress. I'm going down to the grave. I'm crying out to you. I'm crying out to you. I'm crying out to you. But you'll notice two things that Jonah never does in his prayer. He never repents. He never asks for forgiveness. He just continually asks God to deliver him. Well, God eventually delivers him, and God tells the fish to go spit Jonah up on land. He vomits him up onto land. And there's Jonah. I can imagine as he gets vomited up on land, and he's just standing there. And there's people standing on the beach, and there's Jonah standing there. They just watch them get thrown out of a fish. And he's standing there, and he stinks, and he's been bleached from being in the belly of this whale. And they're like, that's weird. And he says, hey, which way to Nineveh? I think this first part has a lot of bearing in our world today. I am not saying that the coronavirus is the result of our sin. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is we've been asked as a nation to pray for deliverance. And we're continually asking God to deliver us, deliver us, deliver us. But are we asking for God to forgive us? Because we need God's forgiveness more than we need God's deliverance right now. So Jonah walks into the city of Nineveh. He walks into a city that he doesn't want to be in the first place. He walks in and he's like, I really don't want to be here. And he walks up, and God has given him this message, and he walks up and he says, hey, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. That's it. That's his entire message. That's his gospel presentation is, hey, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. Now see, the people of Nineveh, they've been struggling for a while. The Assyrians had been struggling with famine and invasion. Their world was falling apart. And God comes and he sends Jonah to them because they were curious and they were looking for a sign. They were looking at the world around them saying, it's falling apart. There's got to be something going on. And they were looking for a sign. And in walks Jonah. This guy has just been in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. He walks in smelling like fish. His clothes are all bleached, everything. And he walks in and he says, hey, 40 days from now, this city is going to be destroyed. And their response is amazing. The entire city just stops everything that they're doing. And even the king comes out. He sits down in ashes. He puts on burlap and he says, listen, if we all stop and repent and pray to God, then maybe he'll forgive us. So Jonah comes in and preaches a very simple message with massive results. Our world right now is pretty curious. Our world right now is sitting around looking at the world and saying, there's something messed up in this planet where we live. There's something not right. And you know what? They're seeking truth. I know that people tell us that today, that the generations of today, they really aren't a very religious generation. And actually, that's not true. The people of today are very curious, but they're seeking truth. They want to know what is true. So they're spending a lot of time analyzing all of the religions of the world because they want to figure out what of all these things that is being taught to me is true. They're very, very curious because our world, let's face it, our world right now is pretty messed up. And we are just like Jonah in this instance, that we have a very simple message and we need to be preaching it. I know that a lot of times we think, man, preaching and talking about Christianity is very difficult. It's, you know, there's all these rabbit trails that we could go down. There's all these different things that we could talk about, and that's true. But when you get down to it, when you get down to what is Christianity, what is this thing that we believe, it's really very simple. We really believe five things. The first thing is that God loves us. When we look at the world around us, we look at the way that creation was originally intended, you can't question the fact that God loves us. The second thing is that we sinned and we screwed it all up. So God loves us and we're sinners and we need God's grace. We can't do enough to earn our way back into God's good graces. We can't do it. The third thing is that Jesus died for us. See, God loves us so much that even though we sinned and messed things up, God sent Jesus to live a perfect life and die the death we deserve for us to make a way for us to spend eternity with God. The fourth thing is that we need to believe in him. We demonstrate that belief when we get baptized. When we come before friends and family and we say, I believe that Jesus lived a perfect life and died for me, and it's the only way I get to heaven. And we go through the act of baptism, we demonstrate that belief to all those around us. So God loves us. We're sinners in need of God's grace. Jesus came, lived a perfect life, and died for us in our place. We believe in him, and then we live our life for him. We go about our life living it the way that God has asked us to do. Most religions in the world tell you, start to act like this, then you can become a part of us. Jesus says, I'm going to die for you. You can become one of us. Then I want you to start living right. Magician, comedian, Penn Jillette. He's an atheist. He makes it very clear that he does not believe in God, but he really enjoys it when people come up to share Christianity, to share the gospel with him, because he said this. He said, how much do you have to hate a person that you believe the world is coming to an end and you won't tell them about it? How much do you have to hate someone that you believe you have the keys to the kingdom and you won't share them with them? See, we have a very simple message right now. God loves us and wants to forgive us through Jesus. So we've talked about Jonah running. We've talked about Jonah preaching. Now we're going to talk about Jonah crying. You see, we learn now why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. It wasn't that Jonah was afraid of the Assyrians. It was that Jonah hated the Assyrians. Jonah's heart was full of hate. He knew who God was. He knew that God was going to forgive the people of Nineveh, and he wanted no part of that whatsoever. He would rather die than live in a world where his enemies got to worship God. So he goes and he preaches this message. In 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And then he goes and he sits up on a cliff over Nineveh because he wants to watch Nineveh get destroyed. He doesn't care that the people right now have you talk about the shutdown that we've had here recently. They totally shut everything down. Animals even aren't allowed to work, nothing. They sit and they pray to God, and he has no part of it because he's up on a cliff because he wants to watch Nineveh get destroyed. So he's sitting there on the cliff, and he's just seething in anger and frustration, and he's just so mad. And then God sends a plant to grow up and shade him. And Jonah was like, all right, hey, I got a plant. I'm shady. I'm good. And he sits there. And then God sends a worm to kill the plant.
and the plant dies. And Jonah just throws what, you know, like a 2-year-old temper tantrum. And he's like, God, I can't believe you killed this plant. I am so mad that you killed this plant. I just want to die. And God says in chapter 4, verse 10, he says, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? See, Jonah doesn't care. Jonah doesn't care about those people. All Jonah cares about is the hate that's in his heart. See, I got a rubber band here. And do you know what gives a rubber band its strength? What gives a rubber band its strength is tension. See, if I just take the rubber band like this, it's not going to do anybody any good. But if I take this rubber band and I stretch it and I put some tension on it, now it has strength. You see, we have to remember that the gospel lives in the tension between grace and truth. See, Jonah, his problem was that he was all truth. He saw the world and he says, this is the only way that we should be able to act. This is what we should be able to do. This is the truth. Now, is Jonah right in what he's saying? Yes, this is the truth. This is what God has said. This is what we are supposed to do. The problem is that when you're all truth, you have no grace. You have no power. You're all like, this is how God has told us we are supposed to be. And I think it's funny. I tend to fall more on the truth side of things. But I think it's really funny when we think about it, that when I fall on the truth side and I put myself into that position, I realize that I don't even live up to the standard that I put everybody else into. And I rely heavily on God's grace. But I'm not willing to share that grace with other people. Now, the other side is that you have people that are all grace and no truth. You have people that say, hey, God just came and preached a message of love and forgiveness. And that's true. God did preach a message of love and forgiveness. I've even heard it said, when I was a social studies teacher, I was showing a video about Christianity to my kids because I had to teach them about world religions. And in the video, they said Jesus was a prophet who came preaching a message of love and acceptance to all. And that's all he ever did. And I thought to myself, and as the video ended, I said to my students, if Jesus came and preached a message of love and peace to everyone, then why did they kill him? You know why? Because Jesus didn't only preach a message of grace. Jesus taught a lot of grace. Jesus taught a lot of truth. If we live in a world that's all truth and no grace, we condemn everyone we come across. If we live in a world that's all grace and no truth, there's no life change. We are still worshiping ourselves because we say, God came and loved me and forgave me and I can do whatever I want because I live in this world of grace. If you're all grace and no truth, you're worshiping yourself. If you're all truth and no grace, you're worshiping your idea of what the world is. Remember that the gospel lives in the tension between grace and truth. Jonah was all truth and no grace. He didn't have it in his heart to forgive the people of Nineveh, which is interesting because he just spent 3 days and nights in the belly of a whale because he wasn't doing what God asked him to do. He couldn't even live up to his own standard. John says this in John 1:14. He says, the word, which was Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's our job as Christians. It's our job as people who know the truth and grace of Jesus to be sharing those at all times. When we deal with people outside of the church, they need to hear the message of grace. So often we come to people who don't know Jesus and say, you got to act like Jesus before you can receive grace. And Jesus is going, no. You need to know the love of Jesus. And then you understand the importance of the truth. Jonah had that all messed up. We have that messed up in our world today. And we have people on both sides of this. I pray that as we go about our lives, as we start to go back into the world, that we remember that as we take Jesus to people, we need to be both grace and truth to all that we come in contact with. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you so much. I thank you personally that even though I'm just such a truth guy, that I can't even live up to my own standard, and that you have given me so much grace. I pray that you be with all of us, that you help us to remember that grace and to share that with those around us. But that as we experience that grace, you call us to something bigger. You call us to something more. And I pray that you be with us to help us to remember that truth, that we can share that truth with those around us, that we can live our lives in a way that is different and people notice that difference. God, I thank you for who you are and for what you've done. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.